Thank you, Pastor Will. Thank you. And I rejoice with you over those wonderful answers to prayer. Okay, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, please, as I open us up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for what you're releasing in this hour. I thank you. I thank you for the answers to prayer that we are seeing. They're coming quickly, quickly, quickly. And I thank you, Father God, that we are seeing the fruit of our prayers coming forth in this hour. I thank you for this time that we have in your word. I thank you for the revelation that you'll bring forth. I thank you for those who are on this line with us tonight, those who will listen later. I thank you, Father God, for each and every one of them. I ask, Lord God, that you would quiet their homes. If they're in the car, bring your presence in and quiet them, Lord God. They might receive of your word. This is a very significant time that we're in right now. And I feel your presence, Lord God. I feel the seriousness of your presence, Lord God. So I ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive from you tonight, to receive your word, Lord God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious and most holy name I pray. Amen. The last 2 weeks we've been talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. And this is a time, this is the season, this is the season of preparation that we are in right now. The manifestation of the sons of God is coming forth. We're about to see it in the earth, in our lifetime. We will see the manifestation of the sons of God. Last week I talked about, and I read to you, Tommy Hitt's vision from 1961, and I meant to tell you how to find that so you could read it yourself. Most of you are very, you know, internet savvy, so I'm sure that you went out there and found it, and I hope that you read through it, because we are going to witness what he saw in that vision. Tommy Hicks, 1961 vision. That's what you can do the search on the web, and you can find his vision. If you can't find it, you email us, and we'll give you a copy of it. This is the season we are in. Last year, the Lord told me in, I think it was November, the Lord said that 2018 would be the year of refining to bring forth a new breed of believers. A new breed of believers. These are believers that will rise up in the earth in the days ahead. These are believers that will be vessels of light in the days ahead. These are the sons of God that are going to come forth. The year of refining is preparing us for this, preparing us for the rise of the church. In Tommy Hicks' vision, he talks about this great figure from the top of the earth to the bottom of the earth, and how it was covered with many things, and it was dark all over it, and it tried to rise up, and it was unable to. As soon as it rose up, and it began to stir, and it settled back down, these things would climb all over it. And that is the attack that the church of God is continuously under. That is the oppression that the church of God sits in. But the Lord says it is time to rise. It is time to rise up and take your place in the earth. You are to be my vessels of light, and you are to shine forth the light and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the hour we're in. out of necessity for the earth, out of necessity for the church, out of necessity. This is the hour for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want to talk to you about this word, sons of God, joint heirs, adoption, spirit of adoption, children of God. These are animated by the Spirit of God. To be a son of God means to have his life force flowing through you. To be animated by the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be animated by the Spirit of God? You know, I look at, and I've got four kids. I got half a dozen grandkids. And I watch my kids, and I watch my grandkids, and I see them as they look at their parents. I see how even my nephews look at their uncles and how they strive to imitate them. If they're sitting a certain way, they try to sit that way. If they're walking a certain way, they try to walk that way. And it's really cute when they're 12 months old or 16 months old or 3 years old, and they're trying to walk around like their fathers do or like their uncles do. It's really sweet when I watch my granddaughters and I see them just kind of leaning against a shelf, and I see them put their little feet just like their mommy does. I see them imitate their parents, those that have raised them from birth, those children who have the seed of their parents within them, their DNA, their makeup. Sometimes it's not even like it's by observing their parents, but they have these little mannerisms that you see and you think, I remember when my child did that. As a grandparent, we look at our grandchildren and we comment on that all the time. I remember when you did that, sweetie. I remember, son, when you behaved like that. I remember. Because these little ones have the life of their parents flowing from within them. They observe their parents. And they begin to imitate their parents. See, we are children of God. His life is flowing through us. If the manifestation of the sons of God is coming forth, and it is, by the way, what will that look like? What will they be like? Will they demonstrate the love of God? Will they walk in the love and the purity that God walks in? Think of Jesus. When he came and he walked this earth. Think of the love that Jesus walked in. Think of the passion that Jesus walked in. Think of the reach that Jesus had into the lives of those around him. He went to the untouchables, and he not only touched their lives, he transformed them 100%. He healed the lepers. He healed the lame. He healed the blind. He healed. He healed. He healed. He restored. He went to the tax collectors. One of them was his disciple. He went to the prostitutes, the very closest follower. One of his closest followers was once a prostitute. He reached into the lives of the untouchables. and he transformed their lives. Jesus carried his Father with him into this earth. Jesus, the Son of God. If Jesus came here and he walked, you know, and it's not like Jesus never got upset. It's not like Jesus never had to have a strong word with someone, because he did. He did turn up some tables in the temple one day because there was unrighteousness taking place in the temple. You think we don't need to go in and stir up a little trouble now and then? We do. Because when there is unrighteousness taking place in a holy place, as sons of God, we are called to take a stand. Take a stand in the name of Jesus. A stand of righteousness. A stance of holiness. We are the extension of the living God in the earth. That is where we are called to walk. We are animated by the Spirit of God. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. This word revealed is previously non-existent, coming into being. This is something that is about to be released. It was non-existent, and now it is coming into being. Non-existent and now coming into being. I think of Tommy Hicks' vision, and I think of that, the church trying to rise up, and so defiled and so covered. And what did God do? He said, you must rise up and life must come forth. It is time. And when it began to rise up, all of these little things began to scatter and flee. Why? Because righteousness was rising up in that moment. Righteousness was rising up in that moment. And the minute that being rose its hands up into the air, into the clouds, it began to melt into the earth, and light began to pour into the earth. Vessels of light. Into the vessels of light. Why? Because God is saying, rise up and praise my name and let the light of the living God pour down into your life. Because you are sons of the living God. Sons of the living God. This is where we're called to walk. I'm going to read verse 18 again, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That word creature means all of nature. That word manifestation means an unveiling. It's an event where those hidden will be revealed. All of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is crying out for the glory of God to be released. The earth is crying out. Who created the heavens and the earth? God did. And he walked this earth. He came and he talked with Adam every day. He walked this earth. The Bible says the earth was watered with a mist. You didn't have to till the ground. It produced what Adam needed. It produced what the animals needed. It wasn't a laborious life. Women, were afflicted with difficulty in labor because of the fall of man. Imagine a life where such holiness, such purity resides, that all you have to do, all you want to do, is worship God. Where the creatures raise up and worship God. Where all of creation responds to the presence of God. Where your every waking moment, your thoughts have God. The thoughts of God, the heart of God, the desires of God. It's all woven in your own thoughts. Interwoven in your own desires. Where such purity resides, such purity resides, that your heart's cry, your heart's cry, is for more of him, that you might worship him. More of him, that you might glorify him. More of him, that more of him might flow through you into the lives of those around you. This is where God is calling us to walk. This is what the refining is for. The refining isn't easy. We've talked about it. We talked about the process of refining gold. We talked about the necessity to where that gold is so pure, so refined. When the refiner puts his thumb against it, his fingerprint is left. They can't even make jewelry out of that because it's so pure. It would just shape and mold. You know, it can't be used. It can't be shaped. They have to add other metals into it to make a ring or a pendant because it won't hold up under the wear. But we are to be so deeply refined that our master's thumbprint is in our lives. Always. Always. That they can see the workings of his hand in our lives, in all that we do. We often cry out to see, see, Lord God, I want to see your power. I want to see it released. I want more anointing. But there's a price. We have to walk through the refiner's fire to carry the anointing. And when we're done, our cry is not for more anointing. Our cry is for more of him, that we might worship him, that we might know him more, that the level of intimacy we have with him might be greater, 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 so that we can worship him more. All of creation worshiped him. All of creation. When Adam fell, creation fell. Everything changed. Do not think that the earth is crying out to have the manifestation of the sons of God walk the earth and bring forth healing. To have righteousness once again walk across this earth. You see, creation responds to its creator. Creation responds to its creator. Think of Jesus when he put his hand out to the fig tree that was not producing and it dried up. Creation responded to its creator. Think of when Jesus walked on the water. Creation responded to the creator. Think of when the storm came and the waves whipped all around and Jesus said, "Peace be still." Creation responded to the creator. The same authority, the same power that resides within him resides within us when we walk in accordance with his will. He can't grant us authority and power and anointing if we're not walking where he's called us to walk. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous for us and those around us. Verse 19 again, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." That's what I was just talking about. All of creation is crying out, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the creature will respond to the creator. I talked about the earthquakes that are taking place in our earth today. Why is that? Because the earth is crying out. The first week, it was 10,000. The second week, it was 14,000. This week, it is 17,000. The earth is crying out. Are we responding? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we embracing the call to press in? That's something you've heard me say almost every week. Are we embracing the call to press in, press in, press in? Are we quieting our hearts? Are we stilling the area around us so that we can spend that time with our Creator and respond to our Creator? We are the creature. We are the sons of God. Do we have the impartation of the Lord God Almighty in our lives? And are we touching those around us? Are we allowing him to flow through us? Are we waiting on him? Are we waiting on him? Do you know he wants to speak to every one of us? The Lord speaks to me in dreams, but he never lets me remember the dream until the appointed time. And then he brings the dream back to me. I could have that dream 4 years ago. When I was a kid, I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, I went to camp, and I was sitting at a table, and I had three friends with me. There were two girls and there was a young boy. Well, we were all the same age. And the boy was sitting next to me. I was maybe 9 or 10 years old, and I was at church camp. And he went to move. Like, he turned and faced me. But he was up against the window. And the minute he did that, the dream came back. And I'd had that dream some time ago. And I said, "Wait, strangest thing. I had this dream. It was a long time ago, maybe even a year, 2 years ago. But I had a dream that you sat up on that windowsill and you fell through the window. And you landed down in the roots of the trees in a crevice there, and you died. And of course, you could have heard a pin drop as the four of us leaned up and looked out that window. There was no screen, and we were about 2.5 stories up, and sure enough, in the roots of the tree was a crevice. And he said, I was about to sit up on that windowsill when you grabbed my arm and said, wait a minute. And at that time, it was just one of those eerie kind of, you kind of do the Twilight Zone little music there, because, you know, we're 9 and 10 years old, we're at summer camp, and, you know, we didn't know about God giving us dreams. We didn't know that he would release things like that in us. We're not taught that in church, you know, 40 years ago. We weren't taught that in church. God speaking to us to save someone's life. That's not the only time that's happened in my life. But the Lord gives me dreams and brings them back at the appointed time. Some people the Lord speaks to, they remember his dream, their dreams, and they speak it out. It's prophetic. Or he tells them so they can begin praying for intervention. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us in our quiet time before him. Sometimes those are the most precious times we have, because we're sitting there quieting ourselves, and suddenly you feel the presence of the Lord enter the room. You feel it. As he enters the room, sometimes when I'm in my room, I feel his presence. It's like a cloud enters my room. It's thick. It's warm. And he begins to impart into me himself. He'll open up the scripture to me, and he'll let me see something profound. Maybe it's a passage of scripture I've prayed about for quite some time. Maybe it's something I'm teaching on, and I'm about to close out that chapter, and he gives me revelation. It's precious. It's intimate. It's relevant. It's necessary. Sometimes he'll speak to me through scripture, and it's personal, and it's for my healing. It's correction. It's part of the refining. It's a deposit of strength, because he knows. He knows what I'm going through or what I'm about to go through. I am an heir of God. I am a daughter of God. He deposits himself into me as I press into him. Sometimes we think, oh, should we really call ourselves that? Yes, absolutely. Do you want to be among those who receive his light, vessels of light walking in the earth, bringing forth healing, entering through the crowds unharmed because the Lord has sent you there, untouchable by man, as you deliver the word of the Lord, as you walk through the dark streets and you go and you pull that drug addict up out of their pit of despair and you say, be ye healed and saved and delivered in the name of Jesus. Is that what you want? Do you want to enter villages where they're killing people, covered by the Lord God, so that you might rescue people? I've heard stories of that. These are the sons of God. the manifestation of the sons of God, bring forth a manifestation of his presence in the earth. He deposits himself in us and we release it into the earth. Last week I talked, we were building a temple, a tabernacle. When the Israelites, when Moses received the instructions for the tabernacle, and they built it from the point of time he received the instruction to the point of the time the cloud of the Lord God came upon it. It was 9 months. 9 months. A season of life, creation, the formation of the tabernacle for the presence of God to dwell. This is where we are. We're in the midst of this. The Lord said this is the season to draw into him, to pull into him, to rest in him, quiet yourself before him, allow his cloud to come down upon you and do the work in you that needs to be done to impart his truth into your heart, to refine you, to strengthen you, so that when he releases you, you're ready. We get busy with life, you know. That's what we do. Life keeps on going no matter what we do, and we get all wrapped up in it. I know. I say that because I know. I've done it. We get wrapped up in it. I'll just take care of this really quick. Let me put this dish away. Oh, look at that. Let me just sweep the floor, Lord, and I'll be right there. Oh, I just want some tea. For me, it's coffee, but just one more cup of coffee. I'll be right there, Lord. He's waiting. We think we're taking care of life so we can go spend time with him, when in all actuality, life is waiting for us in the secret place. Life is waiting for us in the secret place. The coffee, the floors, the dishes, they can wait because life is waiting for us in the secret place where the impartation comes. The depth of who he is imparted to us in the secret place. And if we don't quiet ourselves and enter into the secret place, we're going to miss what our life is truly about. We are called. We are called to be sons of God. We are called to be among the sons of God that are about to be made manifest in the earth. That's who we are. That's what our life is about. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Press in, press in, press in to the secret place. You say, well, I sit there and I wait that he doesn't come. Sit there and wait anyway. Pull out your word and read it. Study it. Let him come. Ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and teach me through your word. I love the word. I teach the word. I love the word. The deeper things of God are found in the word. He gives us revelation, but we find confirmation in his word. The depths of truth, that which gives us life, that which births within us, our very cells of our being, that gives us purpose, is found in the secret place. That's where it's discoverable. You say, well, I work, you know, 40 hours a week, I work 80 hours a week. You better find your secret place. Make it a priority, and God will take care of the rest. Because time is ticking. Press in, press in, press in to the secret place. He will keep you. You are His beloved, called by Him for His will and His purpose. Do you know you've been created by God Almighty? His life breathed into you for His purpose. Your vessel is to be used by God for His purpose. We've got our priorities shifted. We need to get them lined back up. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, recalibrating our lives to line up with His purpose for our lives. His purpose for our lives. First John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Jesus said that over and over, didn't He? He said that in His prayer in John 17. The world knoweth them not, because it knew Me not. And He prayed that we would have the strength that we would need. He prayed that God would keep us. Because He knew. He walked the earth. He knew. He suffered. He endured every temptation we would face. He knew, He knew, He knew what we would go through. He walked it. And His prayer, His cry to the Father before He went to His passion, His cry was that the Father would keep the disciples and that He would keep us in the days ahead. Because the world will not know us. They can't connect with us. Have you ever gone to a place and it's your very first time going to this place and you feel completely out of place? You feel, you know, it's like, I remember my mom put me in gymnastics when I was a kid. And I just loved it, you know. But at first, when I walked in there, you know, there's girls and they're doing backflips and round-offs and they're doing all these kind of swirly things on the bars and they're walking across a tiny beam 4 inches wide and jumping on it, cartwheel on that thing. I felt so out of place. And I felt like everyone there knew I was out of place. I didn't belong. I'd never been there before. I wanted to do this. And my mom encouraged me, it'll be okay, honey, it'll be okay. But I remember that first feeling. They didn't know me, and I didn't know them. Remember going to a new school? Oh, in the middle of the year? It's the worst. Nobody there knows you. You don't know anyone. You don't even, and it doesn't even matter where they're at academically. All you're thinking is that you don't fit in. See, that's how the world looks at us. We shouldn't fit in because we're vessels. Vessels of the living God, His life and His light pouring out of us. We shouldn't fit in. know the song. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We are not to fit into their box, but we are sure to love them where they are. We pour out the love of Christ into their lives. But we don't transform ourselves. We are not to shape and mold ourselves into their image, because that's the world. That's the world. We are heirs, sons of the living God, adopted by the living God. We draw them out of the world. We don't let them draw us into it. There's a distinct difference. It's not easy. And Jesus knew that. And he loved them anyway. And he prayed that we would be strengthened, that we wouldn't fall to temptation, that we wouldn't succumb to the world, but we would remain distinct from the world. Our deposit into this world is to be the love of God. That's our contribution. We pour into them. Don't let them pour into us. We're children of God. We cannot be defiled. Keep your vessel pure. Because when the release comes and his light begins to pour through you, you'll see the fruit of the pressing in you've done. You'll see the fruit of the suffering you've endured. You'll see how his love has perfected you. You'll experience it. And you will deposit into the world the light of the living God. Last year, we were in prayer for President Trump. As we prayed for him, and the media was just all over him, not that anything has changed, well, a few things are changing, but the media was just all over him, and we were praying for him, and I saw him pulling up, and I know I've shared this before, but he was pulling up, and it was like he was pulling this chain up out of the center of the United States, and when he was done, he pulled it up, and he locked it in place, and this area began to elevate about 4 feet above the rest of the United States, and I began to see the rest of the United States begin to light up. It began to raise up and light up, and the glory of the Lord began to pour out from the United States. You see, the earth, this United States here, has been created to have a standard of righteousness, and that is what he's trying to do, raise a standard of righteousness. I began to see the intercessors all over the place begin to pray. And as they prayed, standards of righteousness began to raise. And this nation became a beacon of light into all the nations. A beacon of light. We're not supposed to assimilate. We are supposed to be a nation of righteousness, a beacon of light. When the lost don't know where to turn to, they need to come and receive the light of the living God. Our children used to learn how to read by reading the Word of God. 4 and 5 years old. At 3 and 4 years old, they were memorizing scripture they couldn't even read yet. That was a standard in our country. Righteousness. Righteousness. This is where God is calling us to. A place of righteousness in Him. I heard the prayer praise reports today. I've read this week as we saw victory in the Supreme Court. We saw victory for life here in California. Pro-life centers will not have to post brochures advertising abortions. We can maintain a standard of righteousness here. That was what a victory that was for life. We are called to be sons of God, raising a standard of righteousness, preparing ourselves to be a vessel of light into all the earth. And the earth is crying out for it. It's groaning. It's crying out for the release that it will bring. Press in, press in, press in. Press in. My prayer for you, as we pray for you, we pray for you, is that God will keep you. He will keep you from stumbling. He will let you have a glimpse of what He's bringing in the earth. He will let you have a glimpse of what He's about to release, and you will grab hold of it, and you will fight for it. And the minute you do, the enemy's going to come at you, but you've got to press through. My prayer is that the Lord Jesus Christ will keep you from stumbling, keep you from stumbling. That He will refine you. That He will grant you the intimacy with Him. He will reveal Himself to you in the secret place. And He will draw you in to Him each and every day, that your hunger will be for Him, that your cry will be for Him, that your quest will be to allow Him to pour His light into your life so completely. But it is Him and only Him that will pour out of you. Heavenly Father, my prayer, you know my cry. The same prayer I pray for myself every day, Lord. That I will know you more. That you will have your way. That you will do your deep work in me. I pray that for my brothers and sisters on this line. I pray that for them, oh God. Have your way in their lives, Lord God. Let your presence surround them as they come in that secret place. Draw them in that they might hunger for you like you hunger for them. Lord God, that we might respond to our Creator. The way we've been created to respond. I thank you, Lord, for your impartations. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. There's those who have hungered for a visitation from the Lord. And I saw him go, and there were people that were on their knees. And he came. And he entered where you are. And he began to speak to you. He's coming. Don't give up. Keep crying out because he's about to visit you. I thank you, Lord. Your precious and holy name, I pray. Seal this time with your blood. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Will. Thank you.